Hello, I'm Lord Adalbert K. Stevenson, and welcome to Masterpiece Theater.
Hello, this is Alex Vasquez.
And I'm Natalie MacLeese.
And this is the Do Weekly Podcast, a weekly challenge podcast.
For small business owners?
By small business owners, I think.
What's a podcast?
Well, a podcast is when two people who like each other a lot talk to each other for a sustained period of time, and then one of the lucky people edits the episode so that it's a coherently stitched together piece of sound, and they broadcast it out to all of these services that kind of syndicate it or, you know, kind of put it out there for people to download and listen to. Yeah, that's as much as I know about podcasts.
Oh, sounds interesting. Maybe we should start one.
I don't think it'd be very good.
You're right about that.
Yeah. So what the heck's going on, Natalie? How you doing?
I'm doing really well.
You're doing really well. I'm super excited.
What are you super excited about?
I'm excited about today's podcast.
Why?
Because today's podcast is very special, because today we have our very first guest.
That's true.
And I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know the rest of the stuff that I'm excited about, well, but I'm excited.
That's true. We have a guest coming on a bit later to issue a challenge to our listeners.
Yeah, and our guest is Nathan Hirsch of FreeUp.com, and that's with three E's and a U and a P.com.
But first, we have to talk about last week's challenge, Alex.
Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first? Because I'm pretty underwhelming, I feel like.
I have first a bone to pick with a week ago Alex and a week ago Natalie.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Well, I feel like we really undersold networking events last week.
Yeah, we did kind of poo-poo it. I know I definitely poo-poo networking.
Yeah, this is my impression of us talking about networking last week. Wah, I don't like networking. Wah, people talk too much. Wah, I'm an introvert.
Yeah, I'm not as much of an introvert, but I definitely whine and complain about it, and I just need to get over it and get over myself.
Yeah, and you know what? I was washing dishes yesterday, and all of a sudden I had a thought.
Oh?
How did you and I meet, Alex?
You stalked me.
No.
Oh, jail.
No.
Was it when I used to be a stripper?
Definitely not.
Tell me.
We met at a networking event.
Did we?
Yes.
Was I there?
You were. That's how I met you.
Oh, what was it?
It was a WordPress meetup in Pasadena.
Oh, that was the one that I hosted.
Yes. You were hosting it and I attended.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was at the church or some church.
Was it a coffee shop?
Oh, the coffee shop. The coffee gallery in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
Which also has a stage inside of it where you can watch live music.
Or open mic night, which overlapped with the WordPress meetup that night.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Yeah, so I remember that. You came out, but did you know that I knew who you were already before you showed up?
You've mentioned that before, that you had already read my book.
I had read your book before I showed, or before you showed up.
Then were you like, oh my gosh, a celebrity just came into my meetup?
I was like, she is straight up trying to take over my meetup.
Did you call TMZ when I walked in?
TMZ was not a thing back then.
I think it was. That was only like 2012.
You know what? I don't know. I don't know what time and space is. So yeah, we did meet at a networking event.
Right. And I met Nathan, my business partner, at a networking event. Mm-hmm. I met my bestie Suzette at a networking event.
Out of those events, I've met some really good friends, such as yourself, and collaborators. And I guess I just don't think of them as networking events.
But they are.
They totally are. Like, you're getting people together from different places, different backgrounds and experiences, and you're kind of throwing them in a pot and just socializing.
Yeah, you never know who you're going to meet. And I feel like if someone as introverted as me can go out to networking events and make good friends like you and Nathan and Suzette, and I mean, tons of other people that we both know, Greg and Adam and all these people that I met at networking events. Anyone can do it.
Well, that sounds pretty hopeful. So I hear your bone. I hear the gripe that you have with us really shooting down networking. So I think we should talk about the attitude that goes into networking, maybe our attitude, but can I tell you about what I did?
Sure.
Because I have a feeling your story is going to be much more intriguing than mine. So, you know, I wanted to go to a networking event that I haven't previously gone to. I didn't quite accomplish that, but I did go to two specific networking events. Both were in Pasadena. The first one was for a local Pasadena organization called Innovate Pasadena. And they're a nonprofit organization that hosts and promotes different technology events in and around Pasadena throughout the year. And we've worked with them on the last website weekend that we did back in 2016.
Yes, yeah, 2016.
So it's a good organization, and annually they'll bring together a bunch of community leaders, and they invited me and you also to attend. You were not able to attend.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make it.
So I went to the event, and I tried to overcome the negative feelings that I have, because they're just things that creep up, and I really question them. Like, why do you feel this way? Is this a valid feeling? Why do you feel this way? And is it real? That was one of the tactics I try to use to overcome just my feelings about networking. And then, you know, I said, well, look, I'm going to try to, when people are being introduced, I'm going to try to listen to who they are and what they do, and really try to focus on what it is that they do and how I can, you know, how I can find something that is interesting that I can talk to them about. There's a few people that I connected with. There's a person with the city of Pasadena who works in the economic development department of the city of Pasadena, and they're doing a lot of stuff for Small Business Week, which is helping us out with our content that we're doing around Small Business Week coming up here.
Nice.
And then there's a gentleman who runs a UX meetup out of Highland Park. You know, it sounded really interesting, and so that's something that I'm going to go to as well. And then there was one person who organizes a nonprofit conference here called Scale. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but they do
I've heard of Scale. Mm-hmm.
So it's a purely open source based.
Was that Matt?
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't Matt. I'm forgetting his name because I'm awesome at networking, as I said. But I spoke to one of the organizers, and he said, you know, they're looking for volunteers, but, you know, I told him that I do a lot of work with WordPress, and he says, oh, that would be so awesome. We would absolutely love to have someone from your corner of the open source community come in and maybe do a talk or a workshop. Their next conference isn't until 2019, but I would like to get involved. And,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And that's just a great opportunity. And then the other event that I did was actually the following day. It's also in Pasadena, called the Friday Morning Coffee Meetup. It's hosted at Cross Campus in Old Town Pasadena, which is a great facility. It's really, the meetup is kind of startup focused. They'll have a speaker present on a topic, but really the first 30 minutes and then the following 30 minutes after the talk are really about networking and connecting with people. So again, you know, I try to have meaningful exchanges with folks, you know, making eye contact instead of kind of hiding off to the side and, you know, not worrying about the interaction. So I felt like I did better with just talking to people and kind of giving them my pitch, who I am, and
You made good use of your elevator pitch?
I did. And by the way, one of my friends, Jay, says it's not really an elevator pitch. It's something else. And he was very opinionated on that. So
did he say, well, actually, first?
He did. And I have to tell you, as a man, I hate it when other men tell me, well, actually.
So are you trying to say that he mansplained elevator pitches to you?
No, he just told me that I was wrong. And that's the difference. When a man tells you that you're wrong about something, he's not mansplaining. He's telling you that you're wrong. Let me mansplain something to you, okay?
Oh, no.
So anyway, I feel like my two networking events were really positive. What I would have liked to have done better was attend one that I haven't been to before. Because I see a lot of familiar faces in both of these networking communities.
Yes.
So anyway, but that's
so guess
that's
what I did.
Well, Natalie, that's what we're building up to. What did you do?
I went to a networking event I had never been to before.
Oh, fancy.
And in fact, one I had never even heard of before.
What is it?
I went searching about for something new and interesting, and I found lots of possibilities, but I was most intrigued by an event that was actually last night called Wine, Women, and WoW.
Like World of Warcraft?
No, just like WoW.
Oh, okay. Well, that's weird. I'm kidding. That sound, so women and wine, I'm loving the first two parts of this.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like wine and women?
Hey, I like both.
So I signed up for the event and headed out to it. It was 3 hours long, which I thought was kind of lengthy. But then once I was there, I kind of saw why. They had a lot of stuff going on. And it was lots of fun. So it was at this very nice venue, the Women's City Club in Pasadena, which is in a old historic, it's on the historic register, Craftsman, that's over near Old Town Pasadena.
Really?
Yes. It was gorgeous. And so they started off with a tour of the building.
I'm so pissed off right now. This sounds so much better than either of the other two things.
And they didn't have dinner, but they had some finger foods and things like that. Obviously, there was wine, all the wine you could drink. And they had cupcakes, and they had a jewelry vendor. They had vendors set up with booths. They had a raffle. They had a speaker who was like a pretty famous Hollywood producer.
Why so serious, Natalie?
She was a fantastic speaker, and she taught us how to get media coverage without hiring a PR agent.
Well, that sounds like so much value. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was so much value. And then the description of the group never explicitly said that it was for business owners, but every person I met there was a business owner.
Huh.
That was really amazing. I met a real estate broker and a real estate agent. I met a professional organizer. I met a woman who was starting up her own energy drink company that was all natural energy drinks. Jewelry, the woman selling the jewelry had a whole business around like consulting with how to finish your look.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was just like one amazing woman after another. And then I won. They had a raffle and I won.
Of course you would. Of course you would. I'm so annoyed. The longer this goes on, the more annoyed I am.
So it was just lovely. It was a lovely venue. Everyone there was so friendly and so nice. I had a really great time. I collected up tons of business cards. I shared phone numbers. Like, we were texting each other so we'd have each other's phone numbers. It was a really great event, and I'm so glad that I went. And I'm definitely going to go to that one again and again.
Well, how did you find it?
I found it by searching Meetup, which actually isn't this particular group's main focus. They have actually just set up their Meetup account as an experiment. They actually run the group mainly through their own website.
Interesting. Because that sounds amazing. I have a feeling there's not a men and like men and meth group, or men and wine, or men and mugs group.
I don't think you should go to a men and meth group.
I agree. So do you think that there's anyone from the group that you would possibly follow up with, or, you know, kind of meet in a one-on-one setting and just kind of shoot the breeze and, you know, maybe, you know, get to know them better?
Yeah, I think absolutely. And I'm looking forward to going back and seeing everyone again.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And how often do they meet?
Once a month.
Then, well, you know what? I think I'm going to take an extended part of this challenge offline, and I'm going to look for another type of group to go to that I haven't been to before and see what happens. So I'll just have to report back on that at such time I do the thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And you still have to get back to us on the post office thingy, by the way. I'm just reminding you. Accountability partners.
Thank you. Oh, I do have an update about the subscription challenge I did, though.
Oh.
Well, I further reviewed my list of subscriptions and found that there were a few that I didn't want to cancel, but that I was paying too much for. Like, I was paying for a higher level of service than I actually needed. And so I was able to downgrade 4 different accounts, and that actually pushed my total from around $1,700 a year to over $2,000.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so that's another tip for people to look at. Like, not just things you can cancel, but can you downgrade?
Yeah, that's a great tip. Well, I think we're kind of getting to the part where we...
Next week's challenge.
Next week's challenge.
Well, I guess this week's challenge.
Well, this week's challenge. This week's challenge, again, comes to us from Nathan Hirsch of Free Up. Let's see. Let's throw it on over. On today's podcast, we have Nathan Hirsch, CEO and founder of Free Up, a marketplace. Yeah. Catering and connecting entrepreneurs with the top 1% of freelancers available on the market, right?
Yeah. We started this 3 years ago based on my own hiring needs, and we've been growing rapidly. It's been a lot of fun. We've been able to help thousands of business owners out there, freelancers as well, and I'm excited to talk about hiring. I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things that we started this business around. Well, you know, Natalie and I, as you may or may not know, we both run our own consulting businesses, and as you know, running your own business, finding time to do things is really difficult. So a lot of stuff gets put on the back burner. So we wanted to do the Do Weekly podcast to kind of help people get around that and start doing things more proactively and working on their business rather than in their business.
Definitely. And yeah, just working with consultants, I always find a lot of fun because a lot of times they go in with that mentality of being that sole operation. Their revenue stream is when they're working, when they're billing hours. But you really have to open yourself up to so much more, and you have to hire people to do it if you ever want to scale.
Absolutely. And so Natalie and I, when we got the word from you that you're like, hey, you want to be on the show, first of all, we were super excited because we both thought that the only listeners we had were our own mothers. So now we know that that's not entirely the case. So thank you. But one of the things that was really intriguing is how you built your business, how you scaled it. And there's, I'm sure, a huge story that comes along with that. But, you know, what were some of the things that you found in operating a business that drove you to create Free Up?
Well, I started my first business when I was in college, selling textbooks out of my college dorm room, eventually through trial and error, transitioning to baby products. And I was growing this business. It was growing fast. I was totally overwhelmed with day-to-day operations. And I was also 20, 21, 22. So people weren't taking me seriously. It was very hard for me to hire the people around me. It was mostly college kids. And if I wanted to hire, I had to turn to these remote hiring marketplaces that were just becoming a big thing, the Upworks, the Fivers of the world. And I became addicted to it. It's such a great way for me to get access to talent from all around the world, different price points, everything I needed, whether it was full-time, part-time, one-time projects. But what started to happen was all my time that was spent on the sales and marketing, the expansion, all of a sudden was spent on posting jobs, going through hundreds of applicants, interviewing after interview after interview, and it just took forever. And one day I got sick of it. I wanted a faster way. And when I couldn't find that, I built it myself. And that's really what Free Up is, based on my own needs, a marketplace where we get hundreds of freelancers every week, take the top 1%, let them in, and then make them available to clients quickly.
One of the other questions that I had for you is, now with your marketplace, what, when you decided to build it out, like what was the primary, I guess, value add for creating this marketplace that would differentiate you from the Upworks or Fivers? Like what was the primary focus there to kind of build something that's grown as fast as it has? Like what do you think differentiates you?
Yeah, and that was kind of the first reaction when I did it. It was like, oh great, another VA company, another freelancer marketplace. But what we did to differentiate ourselves was really 4 things. It was the pre-vetting on the front end, because a lot of these marketplaces, anyone can create an account and offer their services. And then you've got the speed, which is huge. I mean, there's no one faster than us. We have clients that put in a request and get started with their freelancers within hours, sometimes even minutes. And then on the back end, the support. I mean, we have clients back at all times, and freelancer too. I mean, 24/7 support. My calendar's right on the website. How many CEOs do you know of a $5 million plus company are that available? We want to make sure people have a great experience. Keeping in mind, I mean, these are real people. Stuff does happen. And for the amount of hours we build, there are always going to be small things here or there, but we make them right quickly. And then lastly, a no turnover guarantee. If the freelancers quit in the middle of a project for any reason, we cover replacement costs and get them a new person right away. So it was really those four things, the pre-vetting, the speed, the customer service, and the protection.
One kind of unrelated notes. I like that I'm not the only person that says write quickly. I say that so much. So I'm glad to know that I have like a kindred spirit out there.
Oh, Alex, should we get to the challenge that you're going to issue to our listeners, Nate?
Let's do it.
All right. You can go ahead and let us know what it is.
Sure. So I have a 5-day challenge. Within the next 5 days, I want you to free up 2 hours per day. And it seems like a lot. You can get a little overwhelmed, but it's something that I constantly do, because if you're a business owner like me and so many of my clients, you can really run out of time. So what you need to do is prioritize everything that you do on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. And your original goal is to take that 1 hour off your plate and give it to someone else, outsource it, hire someone to do that work that you should not be doing, whatever that repetitive task is. It could be data entry, it could be bookkeeping, it could be doing lead generation or running your social media. Get that time back in your day so that you can focus on bigger picture. You need to be focused on the sales, the marketing, the expansion. So it is possible. You can do it. The 5 days, I like to break down it into 5 steps. So the first step is identify what's on your plate, creating a list of everything you do on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis, putting an order from easiest to hardest, and starting to circle those top 2 to 3 easiest things that you want to take off your plate. Day 2 is identifying what that perfect person looks like, because you really need to define that person. If you don't know what you're looking for, it's going to be very hard to find it. So is it US? Is it non-US? What's your budget? How many hours a week? Do you need them to work weekends? Do they need to be able to speak on the phone with voice, or is text okay? Just really define everything about that perfect person. Day 3, you're putting in a request on FreeUp. We'll introduce you to people very quick. You can interview them for 10 to 15 minutes. Make sure that they are the perfect fit for you, because even though we spend a lot of time vetting these people, even if they're the best VA in the world, doesn't mean they're the best fit for every single client in the world. So you have to make sure they're the right fit for you. Day 4 is all about setting those expectations, making sure that you're on the same page right from the beginning, that it's black and white, no gray areas, no he said, she said down the line. Everything in writing. And then day 5 is that feedback loop. Once you've gotten someone to take that task or task or 2 tasks off your plate, give them feedback. How are they doing? What do you like that they're doing? What can they change? How can they adjust? And give them a chance to get better and better and better. And also make sure that they can take feedback without taking it personally. And this is a 5-step process that I'm doing all the time. I really practice what I preach. I only hire people on the FreeUp marketplace. And last week, freelancers billed me 800 hours. So I didn't just wake up one day and hire 35 people. I slowly started to take things off my plate, really 1 week at a time, just until I build up this team.
You know, that's such a great process. And I love that you went through the whole thing there, because one of the things that I see with a lot of people, you know, I run a couple different meetups, you know, in my local town, and I'll run into people all the time who are trying to hire someone to help them out. And I can't tell you how many times I run into that kind of heartbreaking story, you know, like I paid someone a bunch of money to do this thing and it didn't get built. And
all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I've even hired off of Upwork too. And, you know, I've been burned as well.
I never have. I was too scared.
You're, but so Natalie, like, do you think that are there a couple things that you think you could take off your plate? I mean, so I know that you have an assistant that helps you out with stuff, but do you think that there's a couple things in your work schedule that you could probably offload?
There must be. Nate, I would like to ask you for some tips on identifying, like, the kinds of things that are good to offload. And then also any advice you might have for a control freak like me who thinks no one will ever do it as good as I can.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing you have to understand, it's all about mentality. You go into business, right? It's full of risks. There's risks everything you do, and hiring is no different. And there's nothing that I can do to make that risk zero. Even if you hire your best friend, your cousin to sit right next to you, there's always a chance they do something stupid, they jeopardize your business, security, whatever it is. But with that said, hiring is really the only option. If you don't hire, eventually you're going to hit a ceiling. And there's very few $5 million, $10 million a year businesses that are a solo person operation. That just doesn't exist that often, even in the day of the internet. So knowing that the only way to get to the next level is by hiring, your challenge is to really figure out how to do that, because you're going to limit yourself if you don't, and you have to accept that risk. Now, there are things that you can do to utilize it or to minimize that risk. For example, stuff like LastPass, the feedback loop we talked about, giving people test projects, using a marketplace like FreeUp where we're vetting them. But not only that, they care a lot more about being on the marketplace and continuing to get clients from me than they do about jeopardizing your business. And they really do care about making sure you're a happy client. But that's really what you have to do to get over that fear. You have to change that mentality. And there's nothing that I can do to make you do it. But I've helped so many clients just realize it, because just like making bad hires over time, it is frustrating, right? It makes you not want to do it. And no one has a 100% hiring record. Making good hires is addicting. Once you make a few good hires and you realize, oh my God, I don't have to do this anymore. Hey, I can focus on that $1,000 an hour task. Then it becomes easier and you can do it more and more and more. But you really have to just get into the mentality and do it.
One of the things that you mentioned there is doing test projects, right? And I would say one of the things that's helped me kind of find developer help is creating like a small test project that covers a number of the things and tools that I use, and just kind of seeing where they get to with it. And every developer that I've put on these test projects, they've gotten hung up somewhere, and that's totally okay, right? Because, you know, like, they don't have to get it perfect. I'm just testing them for communication, for adaptability, you know, like, how do they try to solve the problems that they run into and things like that.
That's a good point too, because, you know, of course there's going to be problems or things that they get hung up on along the way, but it's good to know how they handle that. Like, do they just go silent and disappear for days at a time, or do they speak up and say, hey, I'm stuck on this. What should I do? Can you help me?
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. And so sometimes I feel like I don't have anything else that I can take off my plate. Like, right now I'm kind of feeling like, you know, I feel pretty cocky, pretty confident, you know, like, but you've given me something here to try. And I'm actually really interested in trying, you know, FreeUp, because I have used Upwork in the past, and, you know, it's fine. I've never, you know, I don't have an issue with it or anything. And mm-hmm. my experiences with it have been mostly positive. So it'll be interesting to try a different service.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely excited to give it a run and see what happens. But any other advice that you can give, again, to, you know, maybe like a dip your toe in the water type of, I guess, test or task or something like that?
Yeah. So one of the most fun things for me about being a business owner is I get to try new things, and hiring is no different. I'm constantly looking for low risk, high reward situations. I want to spend a little money on a lot of different things, see what's working and pour more money into it and pull back on things that are not. And I mean, a perfect example of this is my Twitter account. I just hired an agency on the FreeUp marketplace to run my Twitter, and it's a low risk, high reward. What's the worst thing that can happen? They don't do a good job for 2 months. I lose a few hundred dollars, or they make some bad tweets and I delete them. But what's the best case scenario? I no longer have to do this anymore. My following grows. I get more leads. I get more clients. So for me, that's a low risk, high reward opportunity. And I'm constantly looking for new ways to just experiment, whether it's lead generation or marketing or web development to improve the website, just constantly just putting little bits of money into different people. And I just love investing in people, because even if you try five things and two of them work out, with those two things, people are going to take it to the whole other level that you couldn't even imagine. And that's how you scale a business.
I love the tips. And
yeah,
absolutely.
I'm excited to get 10 hours back.
You better get 10 hours back, because if you don't, I get more cookies or something like that. I'm kidding.
Can my ultimate goal be to outsource everything I do and then I just lay in a hammock and read a book?
I have clients that do that.
Well, you know, it's one of those things too. I mean, you know, it's wonderful to run. There's a freedom that comes with running your own business, but you still have to pay the bills. You still have work to do. And, you know, I think, you know, most everyone would not mind a situation that they could get to where they could step away from their business for long periods of time and know that the business is still going to run without them. So, I mean, obviously that's a much bigger goal, but something like this and making this a habit.
The first step.
Is a great first step.
Yeah, definitely.
There's two ways to go about hiring, right? You're either hiring to take everything off your plate so you can go sit by the beach, or you're like me and you're addicted to working and growing and you just love what you do. And the more that I hire, the more it lets me take off the more it lets me put on my plate. It lets me go to more conferences, do more podcasts, network with more people, grow the business and focus on high level stuff, even though I could outsource everything right now and sit back and the business would run. So just because you're hiring doesn't mean you have to do one or the other. You get to make that decision, but either way, you have to hire, or eventually your business is going to start going backwards, or it's just going to stall out.
You know, the other part to that too is personally, you could burn out in everything. And that's even worse, I think. You know, like personally, when your mental health just kind of takes a dive because you're overwhelmed by everything else.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I got into hiring, I was a young college student running this business out of my world. And I got to the fourth quarter. I met with an accountant because it was time to start paying taxes for the first time. And he pretty much asked me, when are you going to start hiring? And said, why would I do that? I love this. I can do this 10 hours a week, 7 days a week or 10 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of my life. Like, what are you talking about? The money's going into my pocket. No one can do it as well as me. And he just laughed in my face. And he pretty much said, you're going to figure out this lesson on your own, kid. And sure enough, busy season, my first fourth quarter came around where people were going holiday shopping like crazy. And I was trying to balance school and social life and a fraternity and getting all these orders and emails. And I worked 20 hours a day for 2 months, somehow made it out the other side. And January rolls around. And in my mind, I go, okay, I can never let that happen again. I need to start higher.
Great problem to have, but also potentially devastating too, because again, you know, like with great success comes great responsibility. I don't think that's an actual quote, but it should be.
So, Alex is great at making up quotes.
Yeah, yes, I am. but Nate, thank you so much for taking the time to be on our show and to share this challenge. I definitely think this is something that a lot of people will be able to get something out of, you know, just for, you know, our listeners, you know, anyone who happens to listen to this podcast, how can people find you and reach out to you?
Yeah. So if you go to freeup.com with 3 E's, my calendar is right at the top. You can book a meeting with me. You can create a free account, no monthly fee, no sign up fee, no minimums, no obligation. It's in our best interest to get you people that you actually like, and mention this podcast for a free $25 credit added to your account.
Ooh, nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And are there any final tips on just like keeping energized and just staying on top of your, you know, just staying on top of your to-dos? Like any quick tips before we sign off?
One quick tip that I just like to share based on my own experience. A lot of people, they make some bad hires and then they finally get that one person they like, and they make the classic entrepreneur mistake to just load them up with everything. And finally, they found someone they can rely on, they sleep better at night, their business is under control when they're not working. But then that person gets sick or they quit or something happens, and it can set your business back months. So when you do finally make that good hire, diversify. Don't just load that person up with everything. Protect yourself. Don't make anyone in your business irreplaceable, and it'll help you a lot more long term.
Very, very smart.
Yeah, that is really smart.
Well, thanks again for your time, Nate. And I really appreciate you coming on to our podcast. Natalie and I both appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Wow, that was What did you think about that? I thought Nate was great.
This is probably going to be one of the hardest challenges for me that we've done so far.
And is it because you're a control freak?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, you know what? That is difficult. And, but you know, I think Nate made a really good point though, you know, because you can try and, you know, what's the worst that could happen? I mean, nothing bad that's going to happen is going to completely detonate your business and cause you to shut down.
I'm pretty sure it might be the end of the world.
No, that is definitely not true. So,
okay, but to be fair, he did make a really good point that I have to admit is true, that if you don't do this, your business will stagnate and stop growing. And I'm definitely in that place.
Well, and it's a very timely thing for me too, because I do have, you know, people that I'm working with who are helping me out with stuff. His tip about, you know, diversifying. I don't have one person that does like all of my support stuff. I have two people who are doing that. And, you know, I have an assistant that helps me out with other, you know, smaller things, but I could probably expand upon that because, you know, I have a number of hours stored up that I could probably put to use with other sorts of things. So I definitely think that there's a lot of value to be had by bringing someone on to kind of take more tasks off my plate, because I still feel like I'm way too busy.
Yeah, definitely. I'm busier than I strictly have to be too. Oh, the podcasts have something to say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's Miss Stinky Bottoms.
Oh, that's not her name.
Oh, what is that cat's name?
Princess Mabel Magdalena McPuffington.
What's the other cat's name?
Sir Oliver Reginald William von Hoppington III.
Wow.
Did you not know their full name?
No, I didn't know their full names. And is there going to be a quiz on this?
You just knew them as Ollie and Mabel.
Yeah, that seems pretty easy.
You didn't realize they were both royalty?
I did not realize they were both royal cats. The royal podcasts of the Do Weekly podcast. If you want to hear more about these two cats or this week's challenge or just other inane stuff that we talk about, how can people subscribe? What should they do, Natalie? I don't even know anymore. I don't even know what's real.
They can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Blueberry, TuneIn Radio.
Or wherever you download fine podcasts.
Yeah, you can even get it sent to your email if you want.
And if you're really nice, we'll send over one of Natalie's cats with a podcast strapped to its stomach.
That would be an amazing trick.
That would be an amazing gift. Leave us that 5-star review on iTunes, huh?
And tell a friend about us.
Tell 2 friends about us if you like us. And tell your cousin. You know, the one who talks behind your back about you?
Oh, that cousin.
That cousin. You should definitely tell that cousin about this podcast.
All right. Definitely.
All right. Are we out? Are we done?
We're done.
We're done. Fuck.
See you next week.
Oh, I just said a curse word. I was trying not to do it.
Oh, no. You almost made it the whole episode.
Oh, man. This thing's going to be marked explicit, too. Shit.
Now you're just all in.
All in. Fuck it. All right, Natalie, let's slate this fucker.
Till next week, Alex. Testing.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Testing.